The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Boker Tov. Welcome back to the air, Howard, and welcome to Israel and Mazal Tov. It's fantastic to have you in the Holy Land. And there's a lot to talk about here. A storm in the teacup. Let's start indeed. With that. Storm in a teacup. There's been a little bit of an issue going down between China and Israel on the issue of Pesach gifts that have been sent by the Chinese embassy to a number of ministries in Israel. And these Pesach gifts come in the form of travel mugs. And as is usual practice with gifts like this, they go through some sort of a security check just to make sure that there's nothing in them that's untoward. And then when the Shin Bet got hold of these travel mugs, they found a suspicious part, which they suspected might be a listening device or even a camera. And they then went about dismantling the mug in order to examine exactly what the suspicious part was about. But of course, in the meantime, the suspicions were leaked to the press, and the Chinese embassy and the Chinese government in general were furious about this accusation that they might have sent something to ministries in Israel which contains a listening device. In the end, the Shin Bet apparently found that the device that was suspicious is really an innocent part which is meant to retain the vacuum seal in the cup's walls in order to maintain the temperature of the liquid in the cup over time. And so the Chinese government has demanded of the Shin Bet and of the Israeli government to make public their findings in order to put to bed the accusation that they might have sent some subvert listening device as a Pesach gift to a number of Israeli ministries. There you go. Storming in teacup indeed.
That is so embarrassing. But the reality is that this is the and the anxiety that people here in Israel are living under. And I was telling listeners a little bit earlier that having not been to Israel for a number of years because of COVID, I find things quite stressful here in a way. Maybe it's being in Jerusalem where you've got Ramadan, Easter, Passover, all building towards that and happening at the same time. Add to that some terror attacks. And the streets are a little bit more tense than they used to be.
Yeah, there's no doubt that there's an air of tension at the moment and a feeling of security forces out there. Absolutely. And of course, the security forces are trying to make themselves a lot more visible than they usually are. What I think has surprised me so frequently in the past is how much security there actually is going on as a general rule, but that is unnoticed by the general public around them. All of a sudden, a little incident occurs, and you see security people coming out of the woodwork everywhere. And the way that they identify themselves is just to put a cap on. And all of a sudden, they go from a regular civilian individual walking in the street to a security person with a cap on to identify themselves. They suddenly come out of nowhere. But I think these days, they're certainly trying to make themselves a lot more visible. And so I think that might contribute towards the air of slight tension that you're feeling. Hopefully it'll calm down a little bit as we head closer to Pesach, and you'll be able to enjoy the time that you have here.
Absolutely. Speaking of security, the Palestinian Authority is coming under significant pressure to end security cooperations with Israel.
Yeah, so we know that the Palestinian Authority has a close security cooperation working relationship with Israel. And in light of some recent events where obviously Israel has been following up on these terror attacks that have taken place over the last couple of weeks, and Israel has been quite successful in going in even to certain Palestinian Authority areas such as Jenin, where they focused in on the family of that gunman who was involved in the terror attack at Dizengoff last week. And the Palestinian street apparently is now accusing the Palestinian Authority of supposedly cooperating to allow Israeli security forces into Jenin, into civilian areas, and to take people who the Israeli security services deem to be suspicious or to have been involved in certain terror attacks, to take them out of the Palestinian Authority area. This tension is building on the Palestinian street to try to somehow separate the security forces, the Israeli security forces, from the Palestinian civilian areas. And the word on the street is that there is more and more pressure being placed on the Palestinian Authority now to stop the security cooperation. And in fact, the PLO, the Palestinian Liberation Organization, which is one of the parties that forms a significant part of the Palestinian Authority, their second highest authority has taken a resolution to call upon the Palestinian Authority to cease security cooperation. This is currently not being heeded by the Palestinian Authority, and they continue to cooperate with the Israeli authorities. But let's not forget that one of the major beneficiaries of the security cooperation is the Palestinian Authority themselves, because to the extent that they might be at risk of overthrow or at risk of the Palestinian street not wishing to cooperate with them because they have their own internal gripes against the Palestinian Authority, the Israeli security cooperation really does help to prop them up, to strengthen their force as a Palestinian Authority. So it seems to me unlikely, at least at this stage, that the Palestinian Authority will cease the security cooperation, but this tension is clearly growing on the Palestinian street right now in light of some of the recent events.
Really, really something to be concerned about. One of our listeners, Anthony, in China says, who listens in from China, from Shanghai at the moment, says, by the way, in China, give somebody a cup, it means, it symbolizes forever. In other words, it's a gift of enduring friendship. So you can understand why this has upset the Chinese government and why they are demanding a public statement about this incident.
Absolutely. I mean, obviously, this was an enduring friendship until the Shin Bet managed to get hold of those mugs and dismantle them in order to examine exactly what is inside.
Those mugs didn't endure very long, did they?
No, unfortunately not.
The Shin Bet got hold of them. The context, of course, and that's what's important.
Yeah, I mean, there's always this suspicion about you give somebody a gift, you accept it and be grateful and you know, enter into some enduring friendship. Or do you wonder whether you have received poison chocolates or a listening device in your mug?
Absolutely. It's really, really fascinating. Either way, Israeli astronaut, this is a phenomenal story. Israeli astronaut Eitan Stieber will today conduct an experiment to try and light Shabbat candles in space.
Yeah, and he's going to be doing this with children from a Jerusalem school. This is a school that has won the right to enter into this program with Eitan Stieber. The children are fourth graders from a Haredi Israeli school, Dibrot Moshe, in Jerusalem. And these are children who've been involved in a science education class, which has been given by a charitable organization that is set up to try to educate ultra-Orthodox children. Apparently, there are 2,500 children in this program, all ages, from ultra-Orthodox schools, boys and girls alike, trying to give them a little bit more scientific education. And this school has won the right to participate with Eitan Stieber and to try to light Shabbat candles in space. Now, what is the issue? The issue is that apparently NASA has already conducted something like 200 experiments in the past to try to light candles in space. And they've noticed that when they light the candles, the flame of the candle burns completely differently. It's sort of like a round flame and a bluish flame. And they haven't succeeded in allowing candles to burn for more than about 20 minutes. Now, of course, the issue is that with Shabbat candles, they are supposed to be lit before the onset of Shabbat. And according to the way that some people interpret halakha, these candles are supposed to be lit at least until after the end of your Shabbat meal. So 20 minutes is certainly not enough time to fulfill the mitzvah of lighting Shabbat candles, or indeed even can be translated to Hanukkah candles, where they're supposed to stay lit for at least half an hour. So at the moment, in space, you can't fulfill the mitzvah of lighting Shabbat or Hanukkah candles because apparently they go out after 20 minutes. Some people have speculated that this is because of the lack of oxygen in space, but of course within the International Space Station itself there is oxygen, so that's not the issue. But it seems to me that the problem relates to conditions of microgravity, which affects the duration of the flame and its shape. And so today those fourth grade children will be on a link with Eitan Stiva to try and see if they can potentially get over this problem and solve it in some way to allow the lighting of candles to last more than 20 minutes in space. Of course, the lighting of the candles is a great idea and it pulls a lot of attention and it allows those children to really be able to identify with the experiment that's being done. But I think the big picture here is fourth graders participating with the science experiment with the Israeli astronaut on the International Space Station, fourth graders from an ultra-Orthodox school in Jerusalem. I think this is a great story.
It really is. It's just phenomenal and so reflective of the age that we're living in, bringing kids involved in it as well from an education perspective. I absolutely love it. What has there been the reaction to Israel's interest rate being increased for the first time in 4 years, Anthony?
Well, the reaction has been that it was sort of expected. I mean, let's start from the very beginning. Israel's interest rate since 2018 has been 0.1%. So it really could almost not get much lower than that, although we do know that there are scenarios of negative interest rates, and I don't think that the Bank of Israel wanted to really get into that scenario. So it kept the interest rate at 0.1% for the last 4 years. Finally, earlier this week, the Bank of Israel Monetary Committee decided that an interest rate rise was required. Most people had anticipated that the rise would be to 0.25% from 0.1. In the end, the Bank of Israel Monetary Committee decided to raise it by 0.25%. So currently, we're in a situation where interest rates are 0.35%, slightly larger than the analysts had expected, but nonetheless, it's very much within what people had expected, given the fact that the current economic situation requires, as far as the Bank of Israel is concerned, and indeed it requires, as far as many of the analysts are concerned, to have a slightly higher interest rate. There's been a rise in inflation. There's been certain economic conditions which really require, as far as most people are concerned, to increase the interest rate. And there is an expectation that the interest rate will be increased further in the coming months and in over the next 12 months or so. But I think that what was also interesting, in addition to the increase in the interest rate, is how the Bank of Israel sees Israel's current economic situation. And the forecast of GDP growth for 2022 has now been set at 5.5%. There is an adjusted employment rate, which is expected to increase slightly to around 60%, 61% potentially at the end of next year. The inflation rate is expected to be 3.6% this year and potentially 2% next year, which is still higher than inflation has been in recent years. And it's interesting that the debt to GDP ratio is expected to reduce slightly, 67% this year, 65% next year. So we're trying very, very hard to get over not only the impact of the corona shutdown, but also now the whole issue of supply chain issues, which we're seeing has such a major impact on our economy, on the inflation, on prices. And the Bank of Israel has been very, very quick indeed to jump in and to raise interest rates in order to try and take control of all of that.
Right. And so it really was just an expected thing. And because of inflation, it's expected that this is going to continue.
Absolutely, it was expected. And in fact, it was interesting to note that mortgage taking in Israel has hit some record levels over the last couple of months, as people jump in to take mortgages to buy new properties in order to take advantage of the lower interest rate, with the expectation that interest rates will increase over time. And so people have really been jumping. And I think March saw the biggest the largest number of mortgages in terms of dollar value taken place taken in Israel ever. And of course, this has put a lot of pressure in turn on house prices, as house prices go up with people buying more homes just in order to take advantage of the current low interest rate situation to try and jump in before interest rates are increased. So now, of course, that reaction has been fully borne out because we see now slowly but surely the interest rates begin to rise.
Anthony Reich, thank you as always. That it has gone 8 o'clock. I'm Howard Feldman. We'll catch Anthony tomorrow morning at 7:45.